good morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Well done. Can you stand with us? Thank you for braving the snow this morning. You did it. And let's sing of our wonderful Jesus being born.
Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. We are the Duolde family, Hilda and Kevin, and our children Kendra, Owen, and Jocelyn. We are honored to share with you this morning the scripture for the Christmas candle as part of our Advent readings.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him.
In him was life, and the life was the was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world.
And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Let's pray. Emmanuel God, we are here today looking for you. We come to cradle the holy in our arms, to hear the newborn cry of the divine Creator, to see you born into flesh. We're here to consider the mysterious, to sense angels, and to catch a glimpse of the star of all stars. We have need of such things, God. All that is brilliant and bright. All that merges mystery with the manger. But we have more need of your presence that is with us always. Come again, Emmanuel God, to dwell among us. Bring us your grace and truth. Amen.
Is there
Amen. We count it a privilege to give not only with our worship, but also with our tithes and offering. This Christmas, our offering is for World Renew, which is an organization that helps fight social justice both locally and globally. You can give, the ways to give are behind me, or you can give to the offering boxes in the front. We are going to sing a pretty fun song. I don't know if you guys remember how to clap. It's been a while, but hopefully you can get up and move and dance. So let's sing that.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. The good news of the birth of a Savior, the Savior of our world, spread first to the shepherds. And we read in the Gospel of Luke, "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who is lying in a manger." Merry Christmas. Emmanuel, God with us. If you are joining us here today, we want to wish you first a Merry Christmas and welcome you here. If you are joining us online, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas as well. If you're still in your PJs, just go quickly. Just run to the window. Take a look outside. It's snowing. It's going to be a white Christmas, which is awesome. Or maybe that is why you're at home, because it's snowing. So maybe you knew that already. But if you're online this morning, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and welcome you here as well. our hope and our prayer this morning is that you would grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ as we're here gathered together in community. And as we grow in a relationship with Christ, we also grow in community with one another. And one of the ways that we get to know each other, if we're new in this place, is to fill out a Connect card. So if you're here this morning, just grab a Connect card and fill that out. Then we can connect with you and tell you a little bit more about this church community that we are part of. And you can do that online as well by signing in YouTube, which enables the chat. And then you can use the chat function just to introduce yourself as well. So Merry Christmas and welcome here this morning. We have a couple of announcements. We invite you to consider year-end gift giving. So at the end of the year, in this generous time and season, many people want to give a donation, and so we welcome that. You can take a look at the office hours here for the Christmas season. And if you do want to make a donation to New Life Ministries, all of those donations need to be received before noon on December 31st. That's New Year's Eve. There's still time to use the New Life Christmas gift catalog, which supports our New Life missionaries. We encourage you to prayerfully consider your gift giving, giving these items, which are needed for the communities that our missionaries serve in. And there's lots of great suggestions there. And you can view the catalog as well online at newlifecrc.ca/events. And these donations also need to be made before New Year's Eve by noon. So this morning, you may have noticed this strange contraption here on the stage, which isn't that strange to our kids that attend Kids Church downstairs on Sunday mornings. This is our puppet show. And kids, we have a very special puppet show, Christmas puppet show for you this morning. So there are kids out there in the audience this morning, and we would love to have the children come on down. You can sit either on those chairs there or sit right up on stage if you like. So kids, come on down for the puppet show. And when I mean kids, I mean if you're, you know, like young at heart, you can come forward as well if you want a closer view of the puppet show. All right, here they're coming. Sweet, yeah. Get right up on stage, nice and close. Some more coming. Oh, so great. Okay. All right. Here we go.
Merry Christmas to me. Merry Christmas to me. Merry Christmas, dear Gilbert. Merry Christmas to me.
Gilbert, that's not even a Christmas song. That's the birthday song.
Ruthie, don't you know anything? Christmas is like a birthday, only better. No school, eggnog, turkey dinners, and on average, more presents than a birthday.
What?
More presents than a birthday.
What do you mean?
Ruthie, you obviously haven't done the math. Let me educate you. The average birthday party yields 3.7 presents, while the average kid at Christmas receives 4.3 presents. Since I'm not the average kid, by my calculations, this Christmas, I will receive 5.6 presents.
How is someone supposed to give you a 0.6th of a present?
I haven't figured that out yet. It may be a present that someone gives to me and I return it for store credit. My research is not yet complete.
I think you're a little obsessed with this, Gilbert.
You have no idea. Did you know there are three ways to react to a present? If it's a present you don't really like, but have to pretend to like in the moment, you say, "Wow, that was surprising." If it's a present you kind of like, but aren't super excited about, you say, "This exceeds my expectations." And if it's a present you really, 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 really like, well then, you go crazy, kiss everyone, jump up and down, and maybe even cry a little.
Wow, this rabbit hole goes down pretty deep.
It's all about being fully present. Did you see what I did there?
Oh, Gilbert.
Hey, Gilbert. Hey, Ruthie. What's going on here?
Well, Gilbert's talking about presents, how many he's going to receive, and even how he's going to react to those presents. Do you know any good psychologists?
Ruthie, I don't think that Gilbert needs a psychologist. What he needs is a little perspective.
What?
Gilbert, don't you know? Christmas is not about getting more and more presents. It's about the greatest gift of all. It's about Jesus. Don't you know what the angel said on the very first Christmas night?
Do not be afraid, for I bring good news that will bring great joy for all people. Tonight, in the town of David, a Savior is born, the Lord, the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. He will be wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger.
You see, Gilbert, Christmas isn't just about getting presents.
No, it isn't. It's about the one gift that changed everything. It's about Jesus.
Jesus?
In Jesus, God gave us the greatest gift anyone could give, love. His unconditional love. And what's more, God asks us to be his gift of love to the world around us as well.
Whoa, that's amazing.
It sure is, Gilbert. In fact, maybe this Christmas you could spend a little less time thinking about the presents you are gonna get and more time thinking about all the people that you could be a present to, a present of love.
Well, my friend Alex and their family lost their home in the flood.
And my friend Andrea lost her family farm too. She said it's really sad and hard for them.
Exactly. Think about how you could help them. That's the true meaning of Christmas.
I could donate some money for my newspaper route.
And maybe I could call Andrea and see if I can help out at their farm.
That's the spirit. And do you know what? That's the real... You'll find that being a present is better than getting a present.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Well, I think my presence is needed elsewhere. Did you see what I did there?
Oh, Gilbert.
Let's give the puppeteers another round of applause. And also Bruce Gritter, who has been working with our puppeteers. I have good memories of doing puppets with Bruce, and that's been awesome years ago. Kids, in a moment we're going to have a time of fellowship, and I just want to invite you to come and grab one of these coloring sheets because... there is no Little Lights in Kids Church today. Our children are invited to stay with us in the service. So, kids, when we have a time of fellowship here, just remember to come on down, grab a coloring sheet, and some crayons that are there as well. So we're going to move into a time of fellowship right now and just greeting one another, wishing each other a Merry Christmas. Just take note that some of our young adults, our university students, are now back home. Welcome them home and give them well wishes and a Merry Christmas. And for those who live outside of British Columbia and call New Life home, it's been so great to see you here as well over the last two services. Please continue to wear your mask while we take a moment just to greet one another. Parents, if you have children nursery age, that's infant to 3 years of age, you can head out those doors and upstairs, and the nursery is upstairs for today's service. And while you are wishing each other a Merry Christmas, there's going to be some Christmas trivia up on stage as well. So let's wish each other a Merry Christmas and extend God's peace to one another this morning.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas. Yes. So, here we are. You know, it is easy to get caught up in all of the hustle and bustle of Christmas, just like Gilbert did, right? I mean, even all of the celebrations and everything has to be right, and then all of the gifts, that's like the big deal, of course, and so on. But then, as Gilbert also discovered, it's not about the gifts so much as it is about, Gilbert, the presence of Jesus, right? The presence of Jesus. Jesus coming into our world. So I want us to think this morning about that, just briefly, about what it means for God to come into our world. For many of us, perhaps most of us, we're so used to Christmas, so used to the fact of God coming into the world, that perhaps we're no longer startled by it or stunned by it even. We've been looking at special births in anticipation of Christmas. We looked at the special birth of Samson and Samuel and John the Baptist. And this morning, of course, we take a look at the special birth of Jesus and the new thing that God is doing as he has done with each of these special births. What's the new thing? And the new thing, of course, is that God becomes flesh. God becoming flesh. This is the way John the Baptist, we heard it a moment ago, the Apostle John, rather, puts it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God becoming flesh. The technical word for that is incarnation. God incarnate. Again, probably a word that, well, probably don't really use, but we just let it pass us by. But a carnal God is like, it doesn't even make sense. It really, they don't fit together. Gods are supposed to be above everything else. Gods are supposed to be beyond everything else. Gods are supposed to be distant. But to have a God that's carnal, in the flesh, with us, as us, like us, that is something new, brand new. And the fact is that having a God in the flesh is both a scandal and wonder. That God enters into the nitty-gritty of lowly human existence, that's scandalous. To have a God that would bother to make himself the creator, to allow himself to become the creature. That's scandalous. That people would say, well, what kind of God is that then? Not a very powerful God if he's willing to stoop that low. That's not much of a God. But that's our God. A God who becomes flesh. Scandalous. People go, that doesn't make sense. That's not worth a God to believe in. Scandalous. Because it also means that we can't reach up to God. We're incapable of that. And God knows that. And so he says, in all humility and in complete love, I'll come down to you. I'll come down to your level. That's like, what are you saying about us then? I'm saying, God would say, I'm saying that you're too weak. You're too broken. You're too sinful. You can't reach up to my holiness and glory. But I will come down to you. Incarnation is scandalous, but it's also a wonder. A wonder because it means that God is totally present with us. A God who would say, I'll be there. I'll be there with you. I'll be there for you. I'll be there in all of your joy, but I'll also be there in all of your sorrow and in all of your misery. I will be there. That kind of God is simply wonderful. After returning from a long tour, Bono, the lead singer of U2, came back to his home city of Dublin, Ireland. And Dublin's, part of it's a very Catholic city, and Bono is used to Christmas Eve, you just go to church. That's just what you do. Bono did it just because that was the tradition, and initially he thought he was too tired, and so he thought, well, I'll just go to church and kind of rest a while and, you know, be bored probably. But in this one particular service that he decided to attend, at some point, Bono suddenly grasped the truth of the heart of the Christmas story, that God became flesh. This is how he talks about it. He says he was present there in the Christmas Eve service, and then with tears streaming down his face, he realized that if God is indeed at least some kind of idea, some kind of force in the world, some kind of, I don't know, love in the world, then for God at least to reveal himself would be amazing enough. If God is far above everything else, why would he even bother to reveal himself? And Bono suddenly realized, for him to reveal himself, that would be amazing enough. But then he says that such a God would seek to explain itself by becoming a child. A child born in poverty, a child born in hay and straw, a child born among animals. Well, Bono thought, wow. And then he goes on to explain. He says, I saw the genius of picking a particular point in time and deciding to turn on this, to have all of history turn on this one particular point in time. And then he concludes, love needs to find a form. Love needs to find that kind of intimacy that can be actually whispered to another person. Love has to become an action or something concrete, he says. It would have to happen. There must be an incarnation. Love must be made flesh. And with that, Bono reinvigorated his own spiritual life, realizing the wonder of Christmas, that God would bother to become flesh. I hope you catch that wonder as Bono did, that it invigorates your own life with Jesus to realize that God became flesh. Not only will it transform you as you realize that God came to meet you where you are at, but it will also help others to see the good news of God in the flesh as you demonstrate God's transforming power in your own life. See, I think the problem is that sometimes we present Christianity as sheer ideas, that Christianity is just, well, statements of truth, and we project it on each other and say, well, this is the way you have to be because this is the truth. Somebody called that approach just throwing truth bombs at each other. We just say, well, this is the truth, bam, and you have to adhere to it. And this is the truth, bam, and you have to follow it. But God doesn't hurl truth bombs at us. God doesn't come at us with just simply a statement. And he says, this is true. Believe it. God sends Jesus, who is truth, a person who is truth, to come up alongside of us, to walk with us, to know the misery of our lives, to know the frustration of our lives, to know the brokenness of our lives, to be able to live in this broken world. He sends God in the flesh, his own son, Jesus, to save us, up close and personal. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that glorious that we can celebrate that this Christmas? God in the flesh, right up alongside of us. God, up close and personal. What's new is not only that God is in the flesh, but that God bothers then to spend time with us, that he wants to be in the flesh just so that he can be next to us. Wow. John says, not only did God become flesh, but he dwelt among us. Hang on to those words. He lived for a while with us. That God wants to hang out with us, to be like us. God, who is enormously beyond our imagination, says, I want to be able to identify with you, and so I will lower myself to your level. You know what it's like to make your dwelling with other people, to live with others? It's hard. It's hard to be able to always accommodate everybody else's needs or wants or expectations or habits or patterns of living. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates this part in terms of God dwelt with us. He says God tabernacled with us, recalling the Old Testament story of Israel in the wilderness. And there too, God says, hey, I'm not just going to send you out in the wilderness and say, hey, good luck, see what happens. No, God wants to be with his people. And so he gives them very specific instructions to build a tabernacle so that the people of Israel would always know that God was with them. The splendor of God present in the midst of human lowliness is meant to reveal God's glory in the midst of so much unholiness. To be able to reveal God's splendor, his majesty in the mess of our world. However little we deserve to be able to see that glory, nevertheless, God says, I want you to see it. I'm willing to reveal it. God dares to do that, to let his glory appear in the midst of the messiness of our existence. As frustrating as it must be for God, God has a purpose. He's on a mission. He's trying to accomplish something in this world. He wants to redeem this world, renew it, to claim it back as his own, to be able to say, this is how I intended creation. And to do that, he doesn't just wave a magic wand. He doesn't just wipe us out. He doesn't just do something spectacular. No, God comes down into our world to be like us, and in that humble position uses his transforming power to renew the world. It not only is glorious, but it demonstrates God's commitment to us. Because the fact is, you can't go back on incarnation. You can't unflesh yourself, which means that when God committed to this, he was totally committed. He wasn't going back on this, and he will not go back on it, and he will accomplish his purpose. To reveal God's glory is amazing. Well, Max Lucado, he compares our relationship with Christ with a gift that Billy Joel, remember Billy Joel? I don't know, some of you maybe remember Billy Joel, the pop star. And a gift that he gave his daughter on her 12th birthday. She was in New York City, and Billy Joel had been in L.A. doing performances and so on, and he phoned her that morning, apologizing for his absence. He said, sorry, I'm not going to be there during the day on your birthday. But he told her to expect a delivery of a very large package before the end of the day. So all day, the daughter is waiting in anticipation for this package. And finally, in the evening, the daughter answers the doorbell to find a 7-foot-tall package at her door, all very brightly wrapped. She tears the box open, and out steps her father, fresh off the plane from the West Coast. Can you imagine her surprise? Can you imagine the delight? Can you imagine the, Maybe you can, because today that's what we're celebrating. Your gift has come in the flesh. And when you open it up, you see the splendor, the majesty, the glory of God come down to earth to save you, to save me, to save us, and to redeem the world. God dares to let his glory appear in our broken world, and it reflects God's extreme love for us. He wants to embrace us. He wants to be there with us. He's not worried. He's not even worried about tarnishing his glory. He wants us to shine like stars to reflect his glory. He's not even worried about his glory fading in the fog of human sin and misery. The Apostle John says, "We have seen his glory. The glory of God's Son, full of grace, 100% grace, and full of truth, 100% truth." Not we have seen his glory just enough to get by. We've seen a little bit of his glory, and he sprinkled a little grace on that. No, 100%. All over, just so that the earth would be filled with God's grace. A broken world would be filled, full of God's forgiving grace, full of his favor and love, full of his truth and righteousness and justice. Full up. Tim Keller, pastor in Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York, once said back in 1970, he was in Sunday school class, and his Sunday school teacher told them, framed a story that changed Tim Keller's perspective and gave him a sense of that majesty of God and what it meant for God to come into Tim Keller's own life. He explained it this way. He said, the teacher said, "Let's assume that the distance between the earth and the sun, 92 million miles. She said, "Let's assume that the distance between the earth and the sun was reduced to the thickness of a sheet of paper." Then she explained that if that would be the case, then the distance between the earth and the nearest star would be a stack of papers 70 feet high. And the diameter of the galaxy that we're in, the Milky Way, the diameter of the galaxy would be a stack of papers 310 miles high. And then the Sunday school teacher added, "The galaxy is just a speck of dust in the universe. And yet, Jesus holds the whole universe in his hand." And then she said, "Now is this the kind of person you ask into your life to be your assistant?" Well, of course the answer is no. No, I don't want that kind of a God. The greatness of God merely to help me out once in a while. No, I want that God to come into my life in the flesh, to be like me, to transform me to be like God. God's glory presents itself into our lives and into our world to establish God's kingdom in this world so that His glory can shine everywhere, in every nook and cranny. And He does it by stooping to our level, God in the flesh, in order to establish His love for us forever. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all the people. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you are not in a distant heaven, safe and secure somewhere else, leaving us to our own ways, to our own thoughts, to our own ambitions, to our own perplexities. God, you are with us, and you became like us, and in so doing, God, you gave yourself up for us. This Christmas, Father, let that surprise us yet again. Reveal to us your glory. A glory that is revealed not in might and power, but a glory that is revealed on our level. And so, God, give us that imagination. Give us a spirit of wonder and awe at what you have done for us. And then release us from this place, God, to go in joy, to declare such glory, such good news into all the world, into all the places where we live and work and play and study. In all of the places of our lives, God, may we reflect your glory in all humility, but in all splendor. Glory to God in the highest. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand.
Singing all the praise, and now my
From this place, drive safe, but go with the glory of God. Listen, the shepherds, they were told to go to Bethlehem. So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, and when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Have a blessed Christmas. Ponder these things in your heart and share the good news that Jesus Christ is born into our lives. Amen. You're dismissed.